Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Monday, the 18th of October. I hope you're all well. Obviously, normal football back at the weekend, and Betfair resumed their normal service by a couple of longish outages on Saturday. Ended up causing me all sorts of problems. I ended up getting locked out of my Betfair account because of a bot trying to log back in and didn't have the right 2FA, so then trying to get hold of customer service when everybody else is getting hold of customer service. I mean, they are just an absolute shower. I mean, it's one of them where you think they do it on purpose. I'm absolutely sure they don't, but it is just frightening that it never happens on a sort of Monday morning at 10:11 when I'm doing this and there's nothing on, but seems to consistently happen on a Saturday, just as everything is about to kick off. I mean, it was a good racing day Saturday, and football. And obviously when these things happen, I get tons of emails about it. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, but we'd have to all, the only way it would ever work with a site like BetDAC is we would all have to do it. And unfortunately, you know, in all walks of life, we are selfish human beings and we do what we do for us. So you're not, it's great intention to say it. And this is the problem with the competition for Betfair. You genuinely need everybody to shift. So just their seed money sits there, but everybody else is trading amongst themselves on a different platform. And unless that's going to happen, they are going to hold this monopoly, or they're going to sell it to somebody who cares a bit more about it. You know, I certainly am past the stage where they'll convince me that they care about these things. It's just something that we have to live with. Obviously, we can use BetDAC, but it is absolutely comical. And the lack of, you know, just the lack of customer service, something Steve and I talked about, you know, literally last week in our pod, the communication and everything around it when they do go down is just dreadful. And I agree totally. I think Peter Webb posted it, just void everything and then it costs them. But that will never happen either. As we all know, they will jump behind their T's and C's. But if anybody is up for sort of insulate Britain type move from Betfair, I'm in. I'll definitely go to BetDAC if everybody was going, but I think you'd find that just will not happen. As I say, we are a much more selfish society than we seem to be 30 years ago, and people do what they want to do and what will further them rather than look at the whole picture. And on that note, we stuffed them Arabs, didn't we? Stuffed them Arabs. I didn't watch it live. I put it on, I recorded it and watched it on fast forward. I thought when we went a goal down in a minute, here we go. I think they should worry about staying up more than they worry about anything else at the minute. I do think they are in for a battle. Norwich, Watford. I mean, Ranieri, he got off to a good start, didn't he? It's his 22nd managerial job. It's quite staggering. I'd love to know how much he's made from just getting sacked. It's absolutely staggering that this guy just keeps popping up again. Obviously fantastic with Leicester. He seems a perfectly nice man. But it is just the strangest profession in the world where these people just keep going, failing, or, you know, whatever people deem to be failure, get sacked, and then they just walk into another job. And he got off to a right pasting. As I say, Liverpool will be right in there. West Ham, good win at Everton. Again, didn't see it, but a good win. Ollie struggling. Ollie out. You put your Ollie in, your Ollie out. I keep telling you, they won't listen to me. Absolutely no chance of them winning big stuff with that man at the helm, I am telling you. And they can't start saying he hasn't been supported. They haven't got players. They've got fantastic players. They've just got a clueless coach. You know, you look at what he did when he was at Cardiff. And talking to Cardiff, got a right old pasting, didn't they, in the old Welsh derby yesterday? Got a right old pasting. Swansea in the net three times tells you something, because Swansea can't score for fun at the minute. So yes, an exciting weekend, but it is nice to have it back. And Rory won the golf 20 20 PGA Tour wins or whatever last night. That guy, I watched some of that on Saturday night. Just shows you what a funny game golf is. That guy, Keith Mitchell, was it? Had shot 62, 63. And then he looked like he was Suggsy on the front nine on Saturday night. I saw him go double bogey, chipping out of rocks and garbage. But yeah, that's sort of the weekend summary. As I say, the Betfair thing was, it did right itself in the end, but it's just frustrating when it's happening. And we move into this week, build up to the big, the London Derby at the carpet. They'll have got their tails up with a win against Everton. Be quite a good game. I think the one thing Spurs have found a setup that looks better, a formation better than that. That 4-2-3-1, better than the other nonsense he was trying, 4-4-2s and 4-3-3s. So I think we won't fold quite as easily as we have done. There won't be gaping holes in midfield. Be a good game now, I think, West Ham Tottenham at the weekend. Right, interesting. I asked, I've been doing the real life issues. Really, really interesting. What I like about things like this, and some of it I take. I wouldn't say pride because that's not the right, well maybe it is, but sort of a satisfaction that people are thinking, but I think sometimes people overthink. I asked one on Saturday or Sunday, can't remember, that I'll give you £100 free bet. So I basically walk up and say to any one of you, you can have £100 free bet, so you can't lose nothing, you can only win. It's a back bet, and I put four options up: horse price 1.72, a home football team price 2.0, a horse price 28 to back win only, and a horse price 28 win and place. So they were the four options. You can have £100 on any one of them, and I'm just staggered that the horse price 28 win is the lowest. 11.6% of you. That would have been the one I did. For me, I see it as it's £100 and I've got a free shot, and if I'm going to have a free shot, I'll have a free shot at as much money and profit as possible. So I've got a free shot at £2,700. I kind of get the win place bit, okay, because if you get that, I just don't get the fact that the football team price 2 is the winner. I mean, I looked at that and I thought, well, what are you trying to do? And I might be overthinking the replies. What are you trying to do? And of course, nothing I say doesn't mean I'm right. You know, people, oh, you said, I do, but that's how I look at things like that. I look that, you know, if I've got a chance there and I've got a shot, I'll have a go at the 2,700. It's not costing me anything. But the football team and the horse price 1.72, I'm assuming it's because people think they're better skilled at picking a football team priced even money than they are a horse. Perhaps if I'd named the football teams, it would have been different. A lot of this may be in how the question's worded, but I had people talking about value and all sorts, and is it part of a strategy, and this is hard. I found it staggering that was the lowest, that there weren't more people. And perhaps that's why I'm good at what I do and other people are a bit more cautious, which is going to lead me into today. I just found it staggering, but it'll all go in the pot. There wasn't one yesterday. There won't be one today. They'll be back tomorrow. But yeah, really, I just found it staggering that was the lowest, that more people wouldn't want to take a free shot at £2,700 as opposed to picking up £98 on a home football team or £70 on a horse price 1.72. And as I say, for me, if you wanted to look and think, oh, I just want to get something out of this, why wouldn't you go for the horse for the sake of £28, which percentage wise has got a better chance of winning for you? Really interesting, really, really interesting. That'll be something I think that it'd be something I like to sort of perhaps have a zoom on and discuss with people. The thinking, Twitter, unfortunately, one, I don't want to indulge in massive, great, long conversations on Twitter. And two, when you're limited to answers, it just becomes all a bit of a mess for me. So if people are asking me what I would do, I would without doubt have £100 on a horse price 28. I do hope to have a podcast with a guest just discussing this sort of thing, actually, in the future. But just where my life went pear-shaped in Malta. I had to cancel it, and I will hopefully get that scheduled back in the winter. We've got a guest podcast tomorrow. I've got guests lined up for the next 3 or 4 weeks, so that'll be good. But I wanted to move. Obviously, I talked pre the international break when I was doing these before whatever kicked off. I took a bit of time off. The talked about modelling, and I will revisit that, but I just wanted to get back into a bit of mindset stuff, and sort of the things again that I do believe can help people. And as with all these things, you know, it's, I think somebody made a sort of snarky comment last week in the Telegram group, can't remember whether it was there or somewhere else, that you know, these podcasts, they're my podcasts. You can listen to it, not listen to it. You can take the advice. You can think it's shit. It's purely up to you. I'm going to keep doing them. I'm going to do them my way. I'm not doing them. I'm not going to change the person who I am to try and suit other people. You know, interesting, Rory winning last night, and he said, I need to be Rory. And I do think Rory McIlroy was trying to be a bit of Bryson DeChambeau. I need to really whack it out there longer, this, that, and the other. You, without doubt, you perform your best by being yourself and not trying to keep other people happy all the time, and two, being true to your own values and what you believe. And people are very capable of listening to me, hopefully understanding what is satire and what is taking the piss, and I take the piss out of myself as much as I take the piss out of other people, what is serious and what is valuable to them, and forming their own opinions on that and what is true to their values, than you know, picking out bits of this and just going, oh, well, it's all a load of shit, he swears and this, that. Now, that's fine if that's what you believe. Fuck off. Go and it's hundreds, probably thousands, probably millions now of podcasts. Fuck off and listen to them. Leave me out. Leave FTS. We don't need you. I don't want you. You don't want me. Fuck off. It's really, it's such a simple process. I really find it is... It is exactly what Ricky Gervais says. I talk into a microphone, you choose to listen, you don't like what you hear, and then you moan about it. Well, don't choose to fucking listen. Fuck off. It's so simple. It is so simple. It's like me, I don't watch Gogglebox because I think it's bollocks. I don't watch Love Island because I think it's bollocks. I don't watch Game of Thrones because it's not for me. I don't watch Squid Games because it's not for me. Invariably, I said to my boy in the week, he came home yesterday, he said, do you been watching that Squid Games? I kind of have a rule. If everybody's watching it, it probably isn't for me because I'm quite a different individual when it comes to TV, and most of it's complete and utter fucking shit. Our species, without doubt, is the most easily led species on the planet, and I'm going to enlarge on that topic over the next couple of weeks with this. We are just so easily led. Nobody thinks for themselves. We're like fucking sheep, and we just all follow different things people are doing because we're easily led and we're fucking boring. And I am, one thing I am not, despite the Apple review, is fucking boring. We want instant gratification, doesn't matter what it is. We want, you know, I'm not a gym goer, but people who go to the gym, they expect instant results, you know, do 20 press ups, 30 squats with a barbell or whatever it is. Dio's better place to talk about this stuff than me, as are some other of you, and they instantly expect a six pack or rippling muscles. Like anything, I imagine that takes a massive amount of work and a long time. I know, talking to Sam Cassidy, who done bodybuilding, the work and effort that he changed his life to do it. You know, even we want food delivered, don't we? Everything. I mean, I'm absolutely staggered now that you go in a supermarket and you've got things like, just fucking cracks me up. You go to the fruit and veg counter now, and you've got loose fruit and veg, but you've now got whole sections devoted to pre-cut fruit and veg. You actually fucking can't even cut a pineapple up yourself, or melon, you've got to go and buy it already fucking cut for you because I've got to get it in my mouth so quickly. And oh yeah, but it's just simple. Buy a little Tupperware box. Once you've got it for life. Buy a fucking pineapple, cut it up, take a bit to work with you. You don't need to go and buy and pay an extra fucking quid and a half, whatever it is, for it to be cut in chunks. The fucking waste that must cause, because that'll all be machine done, chopping massive great luck. But it's that, everything we want, everything is fucking instant gratification, and that expands straight into punting. You know, what we do or what I do is people want it tomorrow. And Steve and I talked last week and I said the word patience. Nobody has got patience for anything. And if you can go through a year, and it's different with different people's circumstances. So I've got people now that I'm trying to work with, for example, who haven't worked because of COVID. So you're trying to get them not just to learn the process, but also make money quite quickly. Quite difficult because it puts you under a bit of pressure to win instantly, win money. Whereas those of you who wanted to sit back and just say, right, I'm going to learn the process. That's what I'm going to do. And we go back to things like the summer school, 100 days doing the same. I mean, somebody asked me, why didn't I, haven't I got more bets at the weekend? Because there's loads of games on. No, I can't even remember how many I put up, two or three. No, I haven't. If I did, they'd be up there, wouldn't they? I mean, it's stupid. It's just stupid questions because people want to have a bet. It's just being that patient. Patience, for me, it is a real thing, real issue. It's becoming a real issue in life in general, right through to Amazon. You know, Amazon Prime delivery isn't good enough having it delivered tomorrow. They now fucking do it on the same day in some places. You can have it by 9, 10 o'clock at night. Oh, I need it. I need it now. I need. Where are we going with it? What's not going to be quick enough for people? I just find it absolutely staggering. And I think that once you get into that, you know, I'm a great believer in how you are in life, in all walks of your life. It's really difficult then to go and be that a different person completely in another discipline. So if you're like that in life and you expect everything now and everything there, the likelihood of you succeeding at betting is really, really, really slim. I'm telling you, it is next to zero, because if you haven't got the patience to sit and apply yourself and ride it out and let the results come to you, then the likelihood is you are going to fail. And that, again, we see it time and time again in that cycle of people leaving, joining something else, trying something else, tweaking something else. You know, I said again, talking to Steve, good, but I enjoyed talking to Steve, good podcast last week, about how you tell somebody to do something, and because it might not win the first couple, they have to tweak it, because it's not, I've got, what about if I do this, because a goal went in on 50 minutes, so I don't want to wait to 70. So what I've started doing, I've started going in on 48 minutes, because that one game, because I want to get in the action. So I do think it's a wider look at life in general, whatever it is. I mean, I eat pineapple every single day of my life. I have to take 5 or 6 tablets in the morning. I take those tablets and I always have pineapple and a coffee. That's what I do. So I take the tablets, pineapple helps to push the old tablets down, followed by a cup of coffee. I've never dreamed of buying pre-cut pineapple. I'm perfectly capable of getting a knife out, putting it on a chopping block and cutting a pineapple up into chunks, and it might take me, I don't know, 2-3 minutes. I can wait for that, then peel a bit of cellophane off. Madness. And I think, and there was a study on this, that actually people who do learn, and I do believe you can learn to be more patient. I think a lot of, you know, we've become a society that we try and find an excuse and blame everything now, and ultimately, nearly everything we do comes down to choice, and that is our big difference. Our big difference between us and the big wild world out there is we have a choice. So, for example, a lion's feeling hungry, it doesn't really have a choice. It's feeling hungry, it has to go and find food, and that's it. And that goes and hunts, kills, that's it. It's just DNA programmed in, genetics, go and hunt and kill. Everything we do, we have a choice. So we know we're hungry, and then we can choose what to feed ourselves, how to feed, how quickly we eat it, everything we can do. And obviously what you do then becomes habits, and we've talked about habits before. And most people get into not just bad habits, terrible habits, absolutely terrible habits. Zero willpower, blame everybody else. Oh, I had to eat, I was upset, so I had to shove 4 fucking bars of chocolate in me because I was having a bad day. I'll do fuck off. Honestly, I've got no time for it whatsoever. And people come at me and go, it is a thing, it is a thing. It's a fucking choice. It's a choice. You sit there, oh, I had to go to the shop and buy 82 fucking Galaxy bars and shove them all in because I was feeling down. No, you don't have to shove 82. That's a choice. What you need to do is find the root of why you're feeling down and fucking fix it, because the 82 Galaxy bars ain't fucking fixing it. That's for certain. All they're doing is making you a fat fucker, and then you're going to feel even worse. And I think you've got to try and find and stop doing things like that. and find what's important. And it all comes down again to analysing you. And in the gambling, in the summer school, I talk to people about those traits, personality traits, and your traits in betting, because one does lead into the next. And you need to start to take a step back and look at yourselves and, you know, what is important. One of the first things when I started working with Dave, and it was really interesting, I think I may have said this before, again, the way these podcasts are structured, I forget, is actually writing down what you do every minute of every day. Actually sit in there, and when you do something, just keeping in effect a daily log or a daily diary of everything you do and how long you spend on it, and then going back and looking at it. And if you do it for 7 days and being, I can't do that, oh, you want me to write down when I made a cup of tea? Yes, I do. Write it all down, because you'll start to see what's important and how much fucking time and shit you do and things that aren't important, how much time you spend on social media. You know I'm a big fucking one of people wasting time in front of a telly. It's all there is to do on a Saturday night. No, there's not. Read a fucking book. Learn something. Do a puzzle. Test your fucking brain. Do something other than watch fucking Strictly Come Bollocks. People waltzing around. When is that fucking programme ever going to end? Honestly, you go TV Guide Saturday, Strictly Come Dancing. Fuck off. Honestly, do me a favour. Just write it all down and then have a look and see how long you take to do things, what's important, how much time you waste. But then in the things that you do, because you'll start to get this, you may notice, I'm not saying all of you will, but you may notice an element of where you're just rushing to do things, and have a look and think, if I actually took a little bit longer to do that and a bit of patience, would I have done it better? Would the outcome have been different? Would it mean that I further things? Because I think if you sort of get yourself, I mean, this study I was going back, there was a study done that says that things that we wait for actually make us happier in the long run. And I think there is an element to that. I still am of the sort of mentality, you know, I could go out and buy whatever I want. I'm still of the mentality that if I want something, I don't, you know, a couple of times I have punting, if I've had a good period, I've gone and sort of rewarded myself, and I believe in that. But it was something that I'd wanted maybe for a year, and I thought, well, I'm not just going to buy it, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to reward myself when I get to that time where I think, yeah, actually, I've had a really good 3 months, I'm now going to go and buy that Omega watch or wherever it may be. And there was a study saying that people who do that end up a lot happier in the long run than people who live in this sort of self-indulgent, I've got to have it now, and this, that and the other. Because once you've had that sort of dopamine kick, it's gone and you move on to the next thing, and you just live your life in this constant chase. And I'm not sure whether I said this. I was a friend of mine with a racing. I think I did. I was at his for dinner when Sam was away, and his missus is an absolute keeping up with the Joneses. So we changed our car, for example, and that was the first time that, you know, when Ari came, we changed our car from a saloon to a SUV type car. That was the first time I'd driven it to their house, pulled up. She went, oh, you've got a new car. And I said, yeah, we had to change it when Ari come over. Sam wanted one that was a bit more, you know, baby friendly, a bit higher up for her, easy to get the shopping in, blah, blah, blah. And she turned to my mate and went, we need a new car. And she then made the whole evening about cars. She made the whole evening talking about cars. And she was going on Facebook. She's a Facebooker. And she ended up calling somebody up on Facebook that owned, I don't know who they were, but they owned 7 cars. And she's sort of showing him and going, look, these people, they've got 7 cars. They've got a perfectly capable Vauxhall SUV type, whatever the SUV type, only a couple of years old, 2019 I think. But she looked at that and he said something that really resonated with me. He went, for fuck's sake, he said, I wish you'd compare. And they've got a few quid, they're okay, they're not, you know, not minted, but he's okay. And he turned around, he said to her, I wish you'd compare yourself just for once to people who've got fuck all. And it really resonated with me. She didn't have an answer for it. I sort of chuckled. I sort of because that can't be a happy life, can it? Just constantly chatting, just having a bit of patience. Yeah, you might want a new car in 2-3 years' time. But what you've got, actually, when you start to look at your life, you know, I always say there's always people worse off, isn't there? You know, there's a fantastic guy on Twitter at the minute who's been going through cancer, and he sort of detailed his story last week, and he said one of the things, yeah, he could feel sorry for himself, and he's got terminal cancer, and he's trying to live as, you know, long as he possibly can, but he got to the hospital last week or the week before, and there was a children's cancer ward, like literally as you go in, and he said, and that was just a lot more heartbreaking. So as bad as I am, that's a lot worse. And I think we just are losing, for whatever reason, there's a selfishness, we're losing what is important. And I think once you start to write things down, and I'm talking about time and how you spend your time and how to make yourself better now, is if you actually write down everything you do, and I mean everything, and the time it took you, and it's a bit of effort to do that, and then but then you look at it and go, what actually here is important? What can I spend better doing? What will make my life better? Rather than this comparing to everybody else, or just becoming this sheep-like person that, well, that's all I can do, and you get into these really bad habits, and you don't actually further yourself. And I think if you get that mindset in life, I'm certain that for those of you who want to really make a go of this punting, it becomes a lot better. And I know my views aren't, you know, as I keep going back to what I said at the start, I know my views aren't accepted, widely accepted probably by everybody. But it's things like that that work for me. I have always been slightly different, and I quite like being different. I quite enjoy being different. I think it's a good quality of mine. Rather than one of these people, I'm going right back as a kid, of just doing what everybody else does because that's what you do. And I think when you get into that in life, you do get into these really bad habits, and you don't actually look at what you do. So you end up with this sort of juxtaposition of, I really want to do this in life, and I really want to be like this, and I want to be successful, and I want to do that. And then you look at how you're setting your life up and go, well, actually, you say you want to do it, which is my view on most people. You say you want to do it, but actually have a fucking look at how you live your life and tell me how these two are ever going to marry up. And it almost becomes impossible. So, you know, again, I go back, there's that technical side to betting. But the actual way you apply your life, and this certain need for instant gratification, having no patience for everything, wasting time, accepting that that's just what you do. You know, I sit and talk to people. Fucking hours. I mean, just in the Telegram group, they had a discussion the other day on TV programs about 2 weeks ago. I just found it depressing. I just found it, and I don't know whether they were doing it to wind me up, I just found it really depressing. The fucking, we were talking thousands of hours of shit that people were just watching. Oh yeah, I watched all that, and I watched 22 series of that, and 15 series of that, and 84 series, and that's fucking brilliant, yeah, and I sit down every night. And yeah, they might say, yeah, well, we had a stressful day, that's how I relax. Fine, that's what you want to do. I think it's a monumental fucking waste of time. I honestly do. And then I look at a poll I did this last week. Do you feel you waste time? I think 50-odd% of people said, yeah, I think I waste time. And I think I've got to get back to, you know, the two go together. I've talked also, so patience, this instant gratification, actually how do you spend your time, all those sort of things. But then you go to things like everybody is different. So I've sort of said this before, that what may work for me may not work for other people. You've got to, you know, that saying, know thyself, or whatever it is, to thyself be true. You've got to be true to yourself as well, and what you can do. But what you, for me, you've got to start taking these steps to it. So it's for one of the big things for me, and it really has been a big thing over the last few years, is learning that, and I've said this many times on this podcast, when I started FTS, I had this sort of utopian idea, everybody can do what I can do, everybody's the same. I've realised, and I'm learning more and more weekly about this, that people are hugely different, and I need to treat people differently, even just the way the words you use in an email, the way you speak to them. Not for me, because I can be aggressive or moody to anybody, it's to get the best out of them. So there's people that I know I can be quite forceful with. There's people that I know, well, if you try quite forceful with them, they'll take massive offence to it and think you're having a go at them, and it doesn't actually achieve anything. So you've got to understand what you are. And you know, in the summer school, I tried to use Myers-Briggs to help people that way. I tried to look at what skills you had, traits in betting, and give them a score and improve them. I don't know whether people are revisiting that and looking at it. My thought process tells me probably out of the couple of hundred people that started, it's very few. Anything I've had to do with the summer school has been an excuse. Why I didn't do this and why I didn't do that, and I was going to do this and I put the bets on but forgot to update my records. It's always just a little, nothing major, but just little excuses, little I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that and I can't do this, all the time. So for me, it's learning. Everybody's different, but I think you've got to learn what kind of person you are, and you've got to, and this is an effort. You've got to really understand yourself. And I think as we get older, I'm 50 now, I'm massively different to when I was 30, massively different to when I was 40, as a person, that you've got to sort of understand it. For me, a lot of mine comes out when I can't get people to do things in an anger and frustration. So that used to be my first port of call, was just anger and frustration. Where now I try and look at actually what would make that individual better. And I think you've got to look at yourself and say, what would make you better? And one of the big things, and I've never really covered this on the pod, I think, is whatever we can do well can in effect harm us as well. So if we took gambling, if you are, like me, quite a cautious gambler, which I am, that caution serves me well. For the most part, it serves me well because I'm never really getting myself in a mess and getting in big, bad risk. But and Steve would be the same last week. Steve's pre-race trading, he knows wherever he is. But the other way it may have harmed me is, have I looked back and thought, are there times when I should have up stakes or pulled the trigger? Steve may say, if we got him on again in 6 months, Steve, do you ever feel that you should have had more on? I'm almost certain at some stage he'd probably say yes, because it can, as well as being good for you and you think, oh, that's good for me, it can hold you back. On the flip side, if you're a bravado gambler, cavalier, this, that and the other, great when it's going well, but does that then hurt you when it's going badly? So I kind of think that whatever we tend to be good at has got always both sides to it, and that's the real battle, is getting that balance. So for me, it's being cautious, being steady, but making sure that it's aggressive enough that it's moving in the right direction. So those sort of things, and that's where I'm at with certain people now, just trying to get them on that road that, let's look 12 months, let's be patient, we're going to be cautious, but we do need to get money in the markets and we do need to pull triggers and get it going, and we live and die by those decisions, and everything is a decision. But one of the things I think you guys could do now is, in that, never really talked about, I've talked about people finding traits. What's your worst? I want you all this week, anybody who's interested in this sort of stuff, what's your worst thing? So what's your one big bad thing? Doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be gambling, it can be in anything. What's the worst thing in life that you do, or what is your one real big bad habit? And identify, just want one, not all this, that and the other, one. What is your absolute worst habit? Let's call it worst habit, worst trait, whatever it may be. What is your worst one? Write it down at the top of a bit of paper and then break down how you're going to try and change it. And it's something that I'll talk about next week, because I think a lot of people just get into this world where they think they can't change, or it becomes too big a thing to change, and that is certainly an element of it. And the facts are, anybody can change what they do. I'm a firm believer in that. I think anybody saying any different is just talking complete shite. We can learn new facts. We can learn new skills. We can change the way we think. It's an absolute without doubt that that can be done. It's been proven by many, many people. We'll do it in different ways. That's a completely different thing, and we'll take different amounts of time to do it. But to think that we can't do it is absolutely ridiculous. So, for example, if somebody said to me, Ian, your worst habit is swearing, never swear again, I could go through a phase in my life where I eliminated swearing. Of course I could. I actually don't mind it. I quite enjoy it. I think it's part of my character. But to turn around and go, well, you couldn't change it, is exactly the same. And be it eating too much, be it lack of exercise, be it running away, gambling too much, making stupid bets, watching too much TV, whatever it may be. My biggest thing that I struggle with is with dealing with people. Is I do want to help people, and I know I've got to find ways to help people in different ways, but a sort of neediness or excuses. And excuses I have no time for whatsoever. I don't have time for people who say, I can't do this because of that, can't. And there's always a fucking excuse on the end. And when you actually break it down and remove that excuse, they're sort of like a goldfish. So for this week, again, don't know whether anybody's found this any good. I'm just chatting away to myself, as I always do. What is your worst habit? What's your one big bad trait? Can be in any walk of life, whatever it is. I just own up to something that is your biggest, baddest trait. Write it down at the top of a bit of paper. How are you going to change it? What are you actually? What are you? Not anybody else. Not blaming other people. Or if they can do that, I can do that. What are you going to do to change it for you? So you're going to turn around and go, That's my worst thing. I can't change it all in one go. I accept that, but I'm going to take steps to change it. How are you going to go about getting some change in your life to remove that one really big bad habit? Have a think. More to come on this next week. I'm going to talk more about personality traits. I will return to modelling. As I say, the modelling is a harder thing to do via podcasts. I've got Zoom this week on Poisson. I want to try and maybe move to some more of that, some visual stuff. I just think with the mechanics of betting, that visual sort of thing is better. And certainly over this last, since the pandemic hit, I'd never heard of Zoom. Having used Zoom then to talk to people and look at their spreadsheets and go through things, I do think that's a better way to do that side of it, even if I just make some videos for the website. But patience, this lack of instant gratification, particularly in punting, but it won't just be in punting, it'll be in everything in your life, I'm telling you. Starting to look and remove that will definitely lead to better results in everything that you do. But what is your one big bad habit? And that's what we basically are. We are a species of choices, habits, and pretty much most of them end up being poor ones in a lot of cases. So choices, habits, decisions, and it's starting to learn that making good choices, making good decisions, removing bad habits. And we've all got vices, we've all got bits, not talking about becoming an absolute saint, but it's more about looking at elements and breaking them down. So two things this week, literally diarise every minute of your life. So the time you go to bed, time you get up, how long you take to do things. Have a look at it. What's important? What isn't important? What could change? What could you take longer on? And would it have better outcomes if you did that? And what is your one real big bad habit at the top? The first thing, so right, if we were sat in a room now around a table, I'd get everybody to be there all day if I'm patient. Write it down, and there'll be people, can't think of one. I mean, we have things that we've done on our courses and goals, and I don't do that bit. Dave does it, but I sit in on it every time, and I just get annoyed. I just sit listening to it, getting annoyed, because we have a whole session on it, and then we revisit it the next time. And it's just excuses and wishy-washy. And people are coming telling me they want to do this and they want to be this and they want to be that. and they just, everything's half-hearted, and, oh, yeah, well, I couldn't, yeah, I had a go, and I couldn't. Did you really have a go? Did you really? If I put a gun to your head, is that the best you can do? Of course it's not. It's just always cop-outs, wishy-washy bollocks. Right, that's enough of that. I hope you've enjoyed some of it. I'll be back tomorrow. I think we've got Championship football, so have a look at that. Got European football, doesn't interest me. I'm not even acknowledging that tournament Tottenham are in. I'm not going to watch one game. If a mate of mine tell me we're going to win that at the weekend, I said I'm not interested. I'm not even acknowledging it. I just think it's nonsense. The game of football is going to the shitter. If it wasn't a betting medium, I'd have zero interest in it these days whatsoever. Have a lovely week. Happy Monday. Nice happy Monday, that, wasn't it? Nice cheerful Monday. Morning happy Monday. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And then we've got a three-way pod on Friday. We're having a little threesome. Oh, tomorrow we've got guest on. We've got guest pod tomorrow. Of course we have. Guest pod tomorrow. Be up around lunchtime. Right, have a lovely week. And I'll speak to you tomorrow.